Sure. Well, go ahead and get started here. I know John's on his way. First thing we wanted to do here was tackle the intergovernmental and council liaison assignments. In fact, if you look under the blue tab of your folder, there's a list of pretty much everything we have. There's also explanations there of what the various things are, but you kind of know that already. So if you want, we can just pretty much just go down the list and see how we want to do it. Also, Sam pulled this out from our procedures as far as committees, and it says in council members shall state their preference for the committee on which they wish to serve. In the event of more council members state a preference for a committee than there are vacancies, the appointment shall be made by drawing lots.
And from a parliamentary procedure standpoint, these require no second nominations, or just anyone can nominate. You can nominate yourself. So,
okay, I nominate Kathy Watson for Mayor Pro Tem.
Heck with going down the list.
I move.
That is a personal.
I move that we close the nominations.
All in favor?
You in favor?
It's called a railroad.
Well, you don't get to agree or not.
If I'd slept last night, I'd be much more.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Next. On your pins, I just did too. There's a little piece of plastic
that covers
the tip of the pin.
What pin?
Oh. Practice safe writing. No.
So yeah, I guess. So you can kind of pick it off, and then your pen will actually work.
When did they start doing that?
I don't know.
Goodness.
Is this like for safety bottles or what?
So it doesn't leak ink.
Yeah, that or yeah, I don't know what the hell. Huh. There must be some OSHA or something.
That's the
ink is bad for you.
All right. Next is Public Works and Utilities Committee. We had Hanson, Goodrich, and Watson.
I would like to stay on that.
So would I.
I would too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
All right.
Planning land use.
I'd like to stay.
Olson, Zimmerman, Mutchler.
I'd like to go back on that again.
Take Zimmerman's spot.
Okay.
You're gonna have to shout, Carol, if you want something in this group.
Well, yeah. Let's let Carol play.
I'm not a morning person, so we're going on through the day.
Oh, yeah. we're going to 10 o'clock.
That
now.
Probably works good for you on time because you can do two and then.
I'm not.
Right. Oh, that's right. You don't have to worry about it.
I don't have to worry about time anymore.
We always worry about time.
Okay, finance and administration. We have Ingram, Mutchler, and Zimmerman.
I won on that one.
You do?
There
okay.
You go.
Good.
Yeah. I think that would be a good one for you.
I think so, too.
Okay, so.
Okay. Public Health Neighborhood Services, Hanson, Ingram, and Watson.
I'd like to stay.
So would I.
Councilmember Ingram would also like to stay on that.
He also wanted to stay
okay.
on that.
Good. What's that? Lodging tax, Zimmerman, and then.
Hey, John.
Is that a Wednesday committee meeting?
That's what
No. We're now beyond committees.
Yeah.
We've done committees.
It doesn't meet very often, but it's.
We meet usually just once a year, and it's supposed to be the second or third Tuesday in November, according to ordinance or municipal code. It's pretty simple. I collect all the applications for people who want that money. I bring them to LTAC, and then they have one meeting where they...
Well, don't you do it? It seems like November is kind of a weird time to do it if we're doing stuff for, like, Old Settlers and Heritage Society and stuff.
No,
it's all summer.
It's for the next year.
Yeah, you're taking their applications, and then we
so they have to do it a year ahead.
Yeah.
Put me on that advisory with you.
Okay.
I think that'd be good.
I think
so.
Yeah.
And I also should know the mayor also. There's two elected officials that are required to be on that. It's the mayor and a council member. So.
And the other members, Sam, are the elected hotel operators.
Two members who collect the tax, two members who receive the tax.
Yeah, it's actually by state law.
The whole makeup of that entire committee is state law.
Who has to be on the committee.
But the hotel people never come. I mean, we could still
Correct.
Get the meeting.
Yeah, we beg them.
Yeah, you can't force them.
Right? The one guy that had out of Port Away that came for a while.
So the way we were allowed
the
to get
it. Don't
it's a great guy. Came
the way that helped that we got a quorum, because we also, our council person wasn't coming a lot, was making the mayor a voting member allowed us to have a quorum at the meeting.
Okay.
So that has worked out.
Okay.
But we won't have that problem with Carol.
No.
Airport Advisory, Hanson.
Well, I talked to the airport director of operations, that's Mark, yesterday. I was a little bit ready to give this thing up because they've been fighting. But I talked to him yesterday. They're going to change the whole, or there's a proposal to change the whole thing so that we become more of a technical group as opposed to a bitch session, mm-hmm. which is what it's turned into be. And so I'm going to stay on if that's acceptable.
Okay. WTA.
Same thing. Well, except that's never a bitch session. So I'd like to stay on it.
Sure. You've done some good stuff for us.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, having his seniority is good for us.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you when you're the chairman of the WTA board and you say to one of the staff members, we'd like to have a shelter right here.
And we got a shelter right there.
Guess what? You get a shelter right there.
Probably not good to put that in the minutes.
Yes.
No. Please don't. Oh, I shut that off.
That's okay.
Yes, there'll be a little gap.
For the record, that shelter was for the developmentally disabled so they would not have to stand in the rain.
Yep.
Cog, yep.
Then technically, we're supposed to vote. She's mayor pro tem.
We will.
But we're supposed to vote.
At the very end of all of these, we'll do one final vote to approve.
That'll be considered. Okay, great.
That'll be the vote. And I will then send it to Leslie. Yes, she's very adamant about that. So
Okay. So we did talk. School district liaison, Ingram right now.
That was the one thing he wanted to give up because he said it interferes with some other meetings he goes to, and he never seems
and
to.
And if he's willing to give up either or both of these two, I would do either or both.
I think he wants to keep the fire district,
no.
though. Didn't he want to keep fire district?
Didn't Richard there hear what he said Monday night? He said, you know, he says, I never know when they meet because they only meet once a quarter.
So
I talked to Gary Russell this morning. He said, does Paul ever show up? No. I said, how often do you meet? He said, well, sometimes twice a month, sometimes once a month.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't even know when they meet.
So for school district, though, everyone is amenable to Councilmember Watchler?
Sure.
I have no problem
with
that.
That's fine, yeah.
And I misspoke, and I said, too, the other one I meant was chamber.
You'll have to pry that out of his pocket.
Yeah,
and
that's fine.
That's so we want
fire district.
So fire district, somebody.
I'd take fire district.
That's going to be
good.
That's going to be a more important one.
This year especially.
I was a volunteer firefighter for a while there. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Talk fire.
Solid waste executive. That needs to be the mayor. Wild waste. That's me.
On COG, was that one addressed? Or
yes.
That stays the same?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm with that.
Small cities, myself and the mayor. Per tab, is Hanson.
I have a conflict on that one. I have another Thursday night meeting. I've been balancing them by going to half of one and half of the other. If there's someone that would like to be on the parks board, I would easily give that up.
It would help if it was someone from the Public Safety and Bridge Services Committee, too, probably.
Oh.
To be honest. It doesn't have to be, but it would just, since that's the committee that ends up dealing with these issues.
It doesn't have to be.
It does not have to be.
There are issues, too. That's why it's issues.
Once I realize that Councilor Water does not want to do it, it doesn't have to be.
It's growing into a contentious group.
Okay.
I could, I'll do it.
Thank you.
Because I'm actually interested in what. In
good
parks.
For you.
And also good. Park district stuff will be talked about.
I'm very interested. Yeah.
Well, good. Missed the first meeting of the year.
The first meeting of the year is next week. And it's the same as the chamber banquet.
Who's got that one?
I don't know why Rod didn't change that.
I don't think he wanted to. I maybe didn't want me there.
Well, the Lummi invited us, too, to some rescheduled shindig, which was the same time as the chamber dinner. So I told
and we're having the chamber dinner at the Lummi.
I know. I told him that.
My meeting.
So you can go to the at 3 o'clock. You can go get all liquored up at the Lummi thing.
I think it's like 3, isn't it? I think it's
31. But you know,
is it 6?
Yeah, it's a terrible time.
I hate all the pairs.
So
nobody's told me yet. So it may be in the mail.
It came in the mail.
All right.
Okay, we're down to Heritage.
I would like that one.
We've talked about it. Carol's going to take Heritage.
Okay, Chamber of Commerce, that's the one that Paul mentioned he really wanted
said
to keep. That
he would fight for that one.
That's right. Old Settlers?
I'm a member of the Old Settlers. I go to all the meetings. I might as well continue with that.
You're the only council member that is.
Muncher is.
Oh.
Okay, Economic Development Commission.
We don't really have that anymore. Actually,
that should go away.
EDC
went away.
Okay.
Arts Commission.
I think Ms. Watson is doing that. Excellent job.
You know, hey.
I like the Arts
Commission.
That's a
good
commission.
Good, I'm glad.
I actually like them.
I wasn't making fun of it. Yeah, I just think the county gets really involved in that stuff.
But while we're here, I mean, I think it should be commended. I mean, because they don't give them very much money, and they work hard, and they try hard, and they try to get more money themselves. And that's a good commission.
Yeah, I like that group.
That's one of my commissions that doesn't cause me trouble.
We do our best.
We have now the mayor and chief. I'll probably stay that way. Downtown, FDA. What's Muchler now?
Happy to do it, but I had a suggestion. Maybe Carol might enjoy that, being a downtown business person. And
until they moved it to 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, did they?
That was just that was an experiment.
Wait a minute. You're a baker. She could have a 2:30 and start making
bread. She's a cake baker. She works in
okay. I think it's bread.
Cakes are later.
Carol comes to this idea.
You have to understand my retail business is my hobby in life. Okay. I've worked all my life.
I can tell you from the former chairman that she was very pleased with the fact that Mr. Muchler attends every meeting and has a lot of input. So I think it would be appropriate for you to continue.
Sure. Okay. Domestic violence. Right now, that's the mayor and the chief.
Did you talk to anybody about me being on that? Remember we talked about that?
Mr. Balance Commission, because Carol did a lot of that when she was at Alabama.
I don't know if there's a limitation on, I think we could, Chief, I mean, I don't think there's a limitation on people.
I'd be happy to have you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't skew his votes or anything, does it?
Yeah. Okay. She could be a non-voting.
Yes. Yeah, we don't really
vote much.
Yeah. Vote.
Yeah, we accept that one and not this one. That'd be hard to vote on.
Yeah. Community Service Cooperative.
I would like to stay.
Okay.
Public market.
Councilmember Watson.
I can stay unless someone wants it.
Do you not want it?
No, I like the market people.
Can you listen up why you don't want it?
I would do it. Would you like? Because I actually think I would like to. I'm still going to volunteer with them, but I think it'd be nice for them to have other inputs.
Yeah. Okay.
I still want to volunteer with them.
How often do they meet?
It really varies. It's once a month. But the day and time varies. So I'll send them an email. And with
it's
your
usually
email.
At 9.
As long as it's not at 7:30 in the morning, I think she's fine.
No, it's usually like... It's usually like no, because I wouldn't be there.
It's usually nighttime or...
It's usually like 5 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometime in the evening.
Okay, and last one is Planning Commission. If you want to...
Yeah, I enjoy doing it.
Okay.
I wanted to suggest a possible another liaison. I read an article in Governing about... some city that's allowing 16-year-olds to vote for city.
Yeah.
16-year-olds?
Not on this side of the country.
Yeah, our state constitution won't allow it. But
which is fine.
It does. Close.
But what if we had a liaison that liaison to the Frindle High School Council? I'm assuming it's some kind of governing.
ASB or something.
ASB.
Yeah, ASB.
And just to interact with them and communicate with them, it would help them and help us. If they're willing to do that, I'd be willing to be that. That'd be kind of fun.
Have we asked them?
No, nope.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to until I brought it up here.
Well, it'd kind of be same as a school district liaison, wouldn't it?
One's for the school board, and this would be actually for the kids.
I like the idea, you know, just through the comp plan process, you know, involving that generation. I don't know if it would be through here, but...
Yeah.
Do you tweet?
Let's reach out to the let's get a hold of the school district and high school folks.
That's
something that they
want me with the superintendent.
That they'd be interested in.
Go from there.
He's not the one to keep your pictures forever.
6 seconds.
6 seconds.
Oh no, it's always there. We haven't read that article, obviously.
I've changed it to where I can get it forever, but it's supposed to be 6 seconds.
It has to be someone that's free during the day, because the ASB obviously meets during the day.
Right.
And I don't know what the structure is any longer. It's they have the ASB officers, and they meet separately from ASB, which is a representative from homerooms, if that's what they're still doing.
I don't know if it was here. We tried having open up. We're allowing high school students to... be on some of our committees, but it never worked.
Sure. Well, we'll see what they say.
So I'll just kind of explore and see what their interest is.
Okay. Any others? Otherwise,
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the amended list,
including the Let's just make sure it's clear that that includes the mayor pro tem being a member, or being the alternate for COG.
For COG.
Okay. Yep.
Isn't that what it says already? Mm-hmm. On here.
Yeah, it does, but it's,
make
it has to
Leslie
be voted
freaks
on.
Out on the actual language.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. Bizarre. All right, I'll add that to the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We don't
need a second.
We did need a second. Did someone second?
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great.
Clear.
That makes it easy.
Wonderful.
We can roll.
A lot easier than it has been a couple of times.
Let's roll into the next thing, which is department heads. I wanted all the department heads to just spend a few minutes, not very long at all, to just kind of go over kind of the big hit list on what they hope to get done this year. So we can actually start here with the clerk.
I'll be very, very brief. Obviously, you approved the funds for the records management software. We're starting Monday, entering the training period on that. That's myself and Susan, and actually Jenny Welter's upstairs, Yori staff, just because we're going to be coordinating a lot with them coming up in some of the initial digitization. Our first round of digitization, though, will be hopefully all of the records in at the annex related to finance and clerk, because we hardly ever access the finance records and the clerk records. But we have to keep them for basically 6 years, or some of them for council a little bit longer. And they're the easiest to do, the cleanest. They're not bound. Patty has done a very good job of setting us up to start this process. So we'll do that and then roll into community development and hopefully take some weight off of the floors upstairs. And then we'll go from there. The
you
other one is
just shred them afterwards, or what?
Yeah, we'll go through our normal destruction. So we'll get a hold of A1 shredding is who we usually use for that. We just destroyed 150 boxes of records last week. Yeah, pretty insane. And so we'll go through them and just destroy. But this, we have to make sure our process is really well done and set up and compliant with the state regulations related to digitize and then destroy.
Did you hear about that city or whatever that destroyed all their historical documents, including photographs and everything? They had a preservation group was going to go in and sort through and things, and some state governmental agency got involved and took over the process from the volunteers of the city, and next thing you know, everything was destroyed. So they've lost all the early city records and photographs.
In the 1980s, the city of Fernville actually had a deputy clerk who destroyed maybe 40 ordinances. They were all taken out of the code at a certain point, and because they were no longer effective, she decided that we didn't have to keep the original copy of them. So we don't have. So you'll notice if you go to code publishing where we had them load them up, they're not there. They're blank.
Yeah, there's a break. I was wondering why the break was.
One week ago, where a mayor who lost the election took his city computers, two of them, and all the records, and now they're investigating. I guess it's a felony.
Oh, my God.
Well, luckily we have some backups at Northwest Tech. So that's our main project. We're going to continue to.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Okay.
Good to know. Thanks.
So we'll be. So
cover your tracks, Gary.
Start deleting now.
That's all I got.
All right, all I've got. Okay, good. Police.
You just want to.
Just kind of the highlights of what you hoped hope to get done this
start
year.
Start fixing the front door.
600 pound gorilla about this attack on this facility. At some other point, if you have questions, I have the details. We want to get this EOC operating. That's one of the primary objectives that we're focused on next year. Thanks to Council Member Watson, she's been a moving force in getting the county and other interested parties together so that we can start to exercise our capacity to respond to emergencies. The other thing is that we are working very actively, probably most actively than any police department in this county, with the city schools to address violence in the schools. And so we are working now at Mountain View School, actually doing live exercises of dynamic entry for active shooters. We have a very good relationship with Linda Quinn, Mark Debock, and We are gearing up the sorts of materiel that we need to make those assaults, the breaching tools and whatever. There's some other things we need. But we are also now a member of the county's special response team. And I wanted to tell you how proud you should be, because when they did the candidates, it was a selection process. The candidates from Ferndale came out higher than even the candidates from the sheriff's office in terms of their physical abilities and their investigative acumen. So we are, I think, becoming prepared to deal with the sorts of disasters that we should expect, that we could experience, sans the assault on this building. Other than that, that's going to be, we're going to try, the other focus is to get the second detective. Right now we have Bellingham Police Department and the Sheriff's Office giving us detectives to work cases that we cannot work. Serious felony domestic violence cases where a life could be threatened unless this person, a felon, is put in jail. And the Domestic Violence Commission has asked us why we haven't moved forward. And so we are moving forward with that. And then we come up with a possible homicide out there on rural. So that takes a lot of time. And so our detective is working that. Shortly, we're going to start a background on another candidate so that we can augment our detective force. That will further pull her away. And at the same time, we're receiving about 300 cases a year, one a day, having to do with sexual abuse or abandonment or something with a child. So we're right at what we can do by through our investigative staff. And then as far as our patrol staff, and I'll just quickly mention this only because it ties into this facility issue. Currently, 24 hours of every week, there's only one officer out there. Highly hazardous to that one officer, and we've had incidences in which that officer, certainly since I've been here, has been involved with the confrontations with people. He's by himself out there in the street. In one instance, with two people trying to take them into custody, and there is no one there to help him, and the nearest resource will be the deputies or whatever in the area. Our average response time to a 911 call for 2013 is about 7.5 minutes from the moment we get a 911 call to the moment that officer arrives. In the case of this assault on the on this building, there was only one officer. The other officer was, the one officer had already gone off duty by the time this assault started. The other officer was in Bellingham booking someone. So there was no one in the city. So we know that that response time would have been longer than 7.5 minutes. Even code 3, had this building been alarmed, and from the moment that the suspect first gained entry into this building, had that alarm been activated, which would have been at 4:57 in the morning, the officer now was clearing the jail at 3 seconds later. He could not have made it back here in time to have stopped this assault. By the time Stacy, the suspect, left this facility at 5:09 and 50 seconds from the video. So we're faced with a situation that even an alarm couldn't have helped us this time. We could not have had a person, law enforcement, respond in time for this damage to be stopped. So we're looking now at addressing those sorts of things that would keep a person, retard his entry, wire in the glass and whatever. And I did want to tell you that meeting with the insurance fellow yesterday, Slade, he's done this for 20 years, and he's the reinsurance for WCIA, isn't he?
For RMSA, our previous insurer, yes.
and it's AIG. He's also worked for Canfield, WCIA. He said, and never in my 20 years experience have I ever had a claim of an assault on a police station. And nor, he said, am I ever aware of ever. And I've been in the business 53 years, and I've never heard of it. But we now have, this is the second time those bollards have been knocked over. First time the person just drove over them and waited until we arrested him. But this fellow took the bollards and used them as a tool to destroy $60,000. Had he made it through this door here, he could have easily then gone through the window, and that would have allowed him into the Holy of Holies. He could have gone down the hall into the armory. The armory is a special room. It has hard ceilings and hard walls, but an ordinary door, inside of which is about 5,000 rounds of ammunition, half a dozen machine guns. So we're going to look at fortifying that room. It's just something that we have to do, and we will do something in terms of maybe glass breakage in the breezeway. So if a person makes that assault again, it will send off an alarm to 911. Hopefully somebody will be in the city. But even in our response, we can expect it'll be somewhere between 7 and 9 minutes before we can get here, unless an officer is physically present.
Your camera's way the hell up there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to get additional cameras down?
Excellent point, council member. We're looking exactly at what the shots are now. They're not bad. They were good enough for us to identify this fellow.
He was kind enough to wear that hoodie,
which he disposed of immediately. So he knew that
Joseph's multicolored
was in trouble. He disposed of his shoes and the hood because
yep.
he saw all the video lenses. But we are now putting all of those images on split screen so that all through this building we'll constantly be able to see the perimeters. Here was the problem. These exterior doors, and there's four more of them, if you were to assault those, much easier than to go through these breezeways and go through two sets of doors. If you were to assault this door, then you've entered the secure space here, because if you walk through this door, you can go through that window, through that door, out of the comm, and you're inside the building. So we have to see how we are going to reasonably secure this place, but not do so in a manner that outweighs the risk in terms of cost or appearance. We still want to look like an approachable, friendly, inviting facility. And there is another aspect of this that we have to be concerned of, and Dave Carr is the one that addressed it for us. Sitting right outside this wall is the electrical infrastructure for this whole building. And it includes all the generated power that comes on an emergency, as well as all of the EOC infrastructure, telephones, and everything. That could be assaulted.
Is our server in
the server is in the room
the
right next
back
to the
comm.
You would have to enter the space. You don't have to enter the space.
But if you cut off the power to the servers, then...
And as Dave said, there's a number of ways that he can explain to me how he could bring this building down in just a few minutes. So we need to refortify.
It'd be nice to
refortify.
Make sure Dave stays a friend.
No one would have ever guessed. I would have never guessed that this could have happened.
I have a question regarding the EOC and what the school district is doing up on the hill, because they are including a room that they're calling the EOC up there for the school district.
Right.
And I guess my question is that what kinds of activities could happen at a school district where they would need it to be separate from this?
We're actually working out the logistics right now.
Okay.
Regarding that. And depending on what facility is under attack, where the active shooter is or wherever, we would have maybe three or four different places that would come immediately up online. One of them would be this place here. We'd have school officials here, but other law enforcement here as well.
Sure.
This is where you coordinate communications. The media center would come alive. That's where all the media would be done, not in the schools. Other EOCs and other places in the schools would come together to reunite parents with children, to start accounting for children, to triage, to address parents in terms of not giving them updates about what's occurring. So there's a number of different facilities within a number of outer and growing perimeters that we would activate. So the EOC may well be useful for us as a forward observation, as an information place to collect the information. There'll be several.
Yeah, one of the things I heard this morning was that it wasn't just for that kind of an emergency. It was also for like a snow emergency,
right,
a flood emergency, that kind of thing where
they're envisioning they had, full of EOCs.
They had children that needed to get reunited with parents.
Yes.
And that would be central to that. And the first question I have, you know, if we have a snow emergency or a flood emergency, the district office is in the kind of a location where it's not going to be, I guess the Mount Baker blew, it's a different story, but.
Depends on which way it blows.
Yeah. I don't think the public is very aware right now that they're thinking of that as a technology building. That's because that's really what it is. It's where they're putting their servers and what have you. Once the public becomes aware that there's also an EOC involved, my first question was, what's wrong with what the police have?
Right. And we'll have several of the EOCs like we would with the DEM or with the county. They're going to bring their EOC up online, but this one comes up online as well. Plus, that van goes out and becomes another mobile EOC.
Correct.
So you have, and they just designate them differently depending on how many come up online. So the van would be the forward, this would be a command, and this EOC would be the county. So you just redesignate them. And we will have communications with the EOC in the school, thanks to Mike Chaplin and all. So we have direct connects now with that.
Okay.
And I told them to contact Mike about their comms, because they had a different idea of what they needed. So they're supposed to be contacting Mike to talk about what kind of comms they really need.
We have a very good growing relationship in the school. Mm-hmm. And this Mark Debach has been such a valuable asset.
And we all took the Camp Murray tour together. It's really interesting.
So that's where we are here.
All right. Good. Community development.
All right. So we
want. Did you hear the word brief earlier?
Yes, I will be brief. I will be very brief. We are working with the city clerk office to have one of our areas of emphasis be economic development, where over the last four or so years we've really tried to set the table on a lot of changes. We think that we're, well underway. We've got, a good base. So kind of rolling it out a little bit more and trying to lure economic development, inbound recruitment activities with the port. We did a presentation to the Building Industry Association on Wednesday, and I think it paid immediate dividends within a couple of hours there. Development, review, efficiency, continue to look at that. A lot of that has to do with the permit tracking software that we're getting, which will be over and above what we ever thought. So that by itself, we're hoping that we can reduce our review times by a significant percentage. Enforcement is another one, area of emphasis, where with the new enforcement regulations that we have, we can quickly determine that there's a violation and start and finish the process without a whole bunch of back and forth between us and the property owner. It basically puts the onus on the property owner to comply with our regulations. If they're not complying, they're not complying, and it's not staff's job to try to create a situation where, actually you are complying. That they need to, we're still going to be working with them and dealing with them each as individuals and providing as much flexibility as we can, but we're not going to waste time arguing with someone who's clearly in violation, whether or not they're in violation. That's something that they're going to need to take up with the hearing examiner. So we are going to be much more aggressive in that, not only contacting people, but the notice is a violation. And there are some neighborhoods in town that desperately need it and are in danger of becoming blights on the city. And then lastly, and this is really various, we're averaging about 20 or 30 zoning text amendments a year. We expect to keep on with that high load. A couple of the things that I think that we're thinking would be a good idea to have a joint meeting with the Planning Commission on, maybe later in the year, or not talking about the 2016 comp plan updates, what exactly we do want to see in there, what the contents of that are going to be. Looking at density, I think that's going to be a huge area of emphasis for us. What are the different potential things that we can do to increase densities in our single family zones? You're going to have a public hearing on that coming up next, and then also our multifamily zones.
When's that public hearing? Is that for the zero lot line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that sooner?
It's the 22nd. It's your next meeting.
Excellent.
And then...
21st.
The 21st, yes.
21st, 22nd.
And then also talking a little bit more about our philosophy on non-conforming uses. For those that were here back in 2009, I believe it was, the council at that time had a very different philosophy than the previous councils as far as how to look at non-conforming or grandfathered uses. As a result of that, we kind of did some line item vetoes, just kind of cross things out. And what we're finding now is we really are left with an ordinance that doesn't have a clear direction. It says some things that are inconsistent with other things in the chapter. And rather than it being a technical change, it's more of a philosophical, where once we know where the Planning Commission and Council wants to go, we can create an ordinance, but that's not up to staff to determine what your philosophy is. We, of course, have a whole bunch of other stuff we want to work on, and you'll see those coming through throughout the year.
Did the BIA invite you, or did you vice versa on that?
We reached out to the BIA, real estate industry, and a couple of other groups, and then they invited us.
November?
That was November, I think.
November, we started sending them material.
They were really taken in by your presentation. I mean, it was genuine. I mean, they're what a skeptical bunch to go into the builder and say, we're on your side. They don't believe that from the get-go. It was well done.
I was really surprised at how receptive they were about us.
All of them. I didn't hear a skeptic in the bunch. It was a great idea.
As I said in the quote to Greg yesterday, it's I think both the Planning Commission and the BIA were searching for a hero.
Well, I was thinking the same thing, where in some ways we have it easy, where we have Bellingham that is going to always get beat up by them because they've gone through some things that we haven't as far as the growth pressure. And so it seems easy to come in and see, oh, here's how they reacted to this. We're going to take a different tack. And I think that's why we need to make sure that we are genuine. We're not just picking at the flaws of Bellingham, but really, you know, doing better than them. And I think that, you know, in all phases, I mean, our focus needs to be how to make economic development as efficient as possible and as transparent as possible, because that's what they're clamoring for, and that's what they're not getting in any other jurisdiction. So that's our opportunity.
And they really didn't focus on the fees when we were presenting to them as much as they focused on the things that Jory's pressed the whole time, you know, efficiency, and just they just need to know what to do.
Certainty.
Certainty. And once they have certainty. It, they're good to go. And
well, I
had one complaint about fees, and as soon as Jory said they're cut in half from there now, they were good to go.
But I love how Jory went and said, look, on some of our fees, we are higher than anyone.
We were very open about that.
And here's why. And I think that, I just loved it when you did that. It's like, look, in certain fees, we're higher than anyone. And here's why.
Because it's creating that sense of place, and it's creating, you know, what we've done with Main Street and what we're going to do with Church Road. You can come into a really attractive community here, and that's going to increase your values in resale and leasing.
It was a big step with Gary Honkoop from the Planning Commission. He followed me afterwards, and he goes, I still think you're too high. I don't like it, but I really like what you're doing. You're the best at what you're doing.
but I don't like it. And they go, mm-hmm. okay, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. He goes, really? I go,
yeah, I'm not going to lower them.
No.
But not a murmur on fees, though, from at the VAW. It was, they were focused elsewhere.
But I think that's the bargain that we need to set is, we're going to charge you more, but we're going to get you to building faster than anyone else.
Because I know you as the council. I mean, I know you all personally got beat up, especially the traffic impact. But and you need something to. I mean, I want y'all to listen to that statement because I know you've gotten beat up on the traffic impact. We are. It's a significant fee, not as high as technically information showed us, as Keith and I have talked about. But that was a great statement. You're still too high. But I understand why you have to be. Okay, that's you know.
These are.
But we haven't reached everybody, Gary Honkrum. But there are more. They are like, this is terrible.
These are big boys. I mean, after we did the traffic impact, and that was a tough 4 or 5 months, getting phone calls. I don't know if you got phone calls from attorneys and developers and lunch with John Freeberg that I ended up paying for. But. Then we took the final vote, and I get a phone call from Doug Robertson. I thought, okay. Yeah. He was nice as he was on to the next thing. Totally on to the next thing. And, you know, these are big boys. I understand what they do. Let's go on to the next thing.
And it has helped us give us leverage with Bellingham and with other jurisdictions. If we hadn't done what we did, the letters that we sent out yesterday and the coordination that we did with WashDOT, Lummi Nation, and the county, we would never have been able to get there because we took the next step. And what we did is we called Bellingham onto the carpet, all four agencies, saying what you have done with Costco, saying it will not have a significant impact, is wrong. And the only reason we were able to do that is because we've taken that first step and we're charging more than anyone else, and we've done the environmental review above anyone else. And all the other agencies over the phone, you know, basically agreed, by taking this step, writing these letters, we are all agreeing that we're subject to the same expectations.
So now you brought that up just briefly. Keep mailing
us. Because I don't think
Carol. They need to explain. You need to quickly explain to them what you did yesterday. Right. And guys, this is incredibly significant and a great job by Greg and Yuri to make this happen.
I was kidding when I.
Okay.
Well, we want this information.
Yeah, what went out yesterday. Is a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of the
movie. And I think it was really, you know, all of us. I mean, you know, it was a great example of, I think, your department had sitting down together, first of all, and questioning each other, is what we're doing right?
Can you tell Carol what happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
The non-determination of non-significance.
So whenever a development comes in, cities have to look and see what its environmental impact is going to be. And it can either be there's going to be no impact all the way up to there's an impact but we can mitigate, to there's an impact that cannot be mitigated but here's what we're going to do to try to do what we can. So the city of Bellingham with Costco determined that since Costco is complying with all of the city of Bellingham standards, paying their traffic fees and doing frontage improvements and that sort of thing, they were all set. And that neither Bellingham or Costco had any obligation to do any mitigation outside of the city limits of Bellingham. But that's exactly what SEPA, that environmental review, is supposed to do, is to say, what are the extra jurisdictional impacts? Bellingham said, there are none. There are none that we're responsible for, which is flat out wrong. And so we feel that the traffic analysis shows that there are going to be additional trips at Slater down to Pacific Highway and then to the new Costco. We said those have an impact. Might not be huge, but there's an impact and you need to mitigate for them. And so we got in touch with Whatcom County, the Lummi Nation, and Washington State Department of Transportation because we knew that Ferndale is going to just have sour grapes. If we complain, we lost Costco, and now we're mad because someone else got it. And we were able to work with all three of those other agencies to craft very similar letters that call out Bellingham and say, you will change your analysis, you will require that there be mitigation, and that it sets it up for, rather than a death by 1,000 cuts, where slowly 20 trips here, 20 trips there, 20 trips there, completely destroy Slater the same way as they did with Bakerview. Starting today, starting now with this, every future development, we hope, will start paying into a pot so that we're going to be able to take it to the state and say, this is a problem intersection that the local jurisdictions have come together on, and now you need to come up and do the rest. And so the three other agencies, very similar letters, very good coordination on it, talked each other down from the ledge a little bit, but I think
even a letter from the Lummies.
Yeah, we're surprised that the Lummies actually submitted. Yeah, and once when we're on the phone, the Lummies are characteristically quiet on a lot of things. But they actually stated that they feel like the Lummies themselves have an obligation to pay a proportionate share when they develop Slater. So they reaffirm the idea that they're not going to be surprised, and they're going to be willing to pay when we ask them to do their portion of it.
I think some things are changing because they're part of the UGA process too now. They come to our UGA meetings and they're part of that process. I think they're feeling like they're part of the county more.
Yeah.
There was something in the newspaper about that in the city of Bellingham getting, I think it was federal highway money or something for that.
That's the same funding we got for projects.
So we do take advantage of that.
Yes. That's where we got our 800 for Church Road.
For Church
Road. 800,000. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm at the table with the other agencies and we're competing for those funds.
Yeah. The Herald was just a little late on that article because we actually put out press on Church like the next day and we didn't mention Bellingham. So they really we actually got a full article in the paper about us, and then like a month later, Ralph's like, we need to talk. I want to talk to you about your thing. And he forgot he had written an article. He's like, well, I'm writing one about Bellingham, so I thought I'd check in again. So,
for Costa, to kind of close the loop on that, should Bellingham just shine us all on and say, thanks for your comment, but we don't feel like there's any significant environmental impact? Where we might take that, and this is where I think the council needs to be sure that you're comfortable with, is that in a worst-case scenario, they shine us on, we then appeal the SEPA and appeal the building permit for Costco. It'd be a LUPA appeal. Then you start going, then you set up to go to court. And of course, what naturally happens before you go to court is you sit down at the table and hopefully you come
hopefully
to. So if we're not able to get their attention this way, we're hopeful that eventually we'll force them.
Well, isn't the county supposed to be giving a bunch of money for a new stormwater pond associated with that project, too?
Yep. It has not been repealed yet, though.
Right. Do we want to send the county council a copy of the letter?
I really should
copy it to our council.
All
of this body should have them.
I will send them to you as well.
Great.
The Herald may already have them.
On a legal standing, because also Washington State Department of Transportation, this division, Wauka County, Ferndale, Lummi, so now they've set it up where they all have legal standing.
Right.
Because they send that letter now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that can't be taken away.
No, okay. Not at all.
I thought that was
way. And hopefully Bellingham will just, and why they went with the determination of non-significance, I think it had to be some sort of a calculated political decision because
they probably thought no one would say anything.
They had to have known.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've been harping on for like a half a year.
I've had personal conversations with Mary Lindville. Her staff hasn't altered from that stance. And you always heard me, you know, jump up and down on this. That look, Slater is an F, and it's outside our UGA. Yes, our UGA touches Slater, but it's outside our UGA. So if you start it by saying, look, it's outside our UGA. Yeah, it touches it, but that doesn't count. We're never going to annex that far. Our council is never going to go that far. So we're not involved. It's like, well, no, that's wrong. No.
But
I
think that's one of the good things about our staff is we are so close together. We're not in different departments because it's the interdisciplinary stuff. Because from a pure traffic standpoint, yeah, level of service, it doesn't break level of service because it's already broken. But from a SEPA standpoint, it's making the queues longer. And if you just talk to one staff member who's just looking at one side of it, yeah, that's true. But if you talk to another one, you know, if you talk to your public works department, they're saying, no, operationally, it's much worse. Instead of talking to the community development director who might say, no, level service is what we measure.
Yeah, so we'll see how that happens. You know, we did have to encourage, and Bellingham did, and broaden the scope of the SEPA. They weren't even going to look at anything out of their city limits. So they agreed to increase the scope of the SEPA. We'll now see if they're willing to increase the mitigation of the SEPA.
So copy all that to Planning Commission and the rest of the council.
All right.
We don't have a liaison with the Lummi Nation.
Mm-hmm.
What is our relationship with them?
The mayor. Well, the mayor. The mayor. But we don't have like those great meetings.
Yeah, Greg was loved by them.
we just don't go to like all their meetings.
Right.
We have. That's a difficult thing, Carol. Is I've asked to attend their council meetings. They say, yeah, we're going to do that. It never happens. It's always a constant struggle. Okay. You know, we invite them to everything. We try to get them involved. It's a tough one.
They have positions in the county where there are LUMMI liaisons that are supposed to be. Airport Advisory is one of them. They will not appoint anybody, nor will they attend.
Well, it's just we have their schools covered.
It has to do with this whole sovereign nation thing. If we show any weakness along that line, you know, where we put a liaison with the Airport Advisory or with WTA or something along that line, then all of a sudden we've agreed that we're part of you and we're not.
But sending the city council to Washington D.C. to be a liaison to...
Yeah.
They are very insular. They tend to... A good example is I'm involved in the WIRA, which is the Water Resource Inventory, or Salmon Recovery, basically is what it is. And there's the bottom layer is the planning unit, which is a big group, and then it goes kind of up there. The LUMMIs won't take part in the planning unit, and the reason they told me was that they don't negotiate. They're a government unit. They only deal with other government units. This is not a government unit, so they don't negotiate. And it took me a while to figure out what that meant. And what it meant was, if there's 75 salmon enhancement projects, eventually this group wants to come up with a ranked order list to get funding to say, okay, what's the most important project? What's the second most important project? Their idea of not wanting to negotiate is they don't want to sit at the table and say, we think number 7 is more important than number 9. Because then there would have to be some compromise, and so it's strange to try to figure out. They want to be separate, but yet they need to take part, and it's hard to pull them in sometimes, because unknowingly, sometimes we're asking them to do things that they're not comfortable with, but it doesn't quite register.
Like negotiate sales tax,
right?
So to them, they're the ones philosophically should have the control.
Right. We just need to try to continue to reach out, and if
they
it's
will invite you as a council member now. Yeah. You'll get invited.
Well,
to
they call
every
me
now
constantly
and then
to come to their council meetings.
Yeah.
For some reason, I haven't been.
They haven't reaching out individually.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're trying to get people on their side.
Yeah.
You know, that's their job.
And I think it's where I go to meet. I had one meeting with them, but just for a lot of social events, just go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Speaking of, would it be gracious on our part, because most of us, I think, are probably going to the chamber, which starts at 5 or 6.
Five
is when the door opens. It goes
five,
to
well,
like
5
eight.
Is the
social.
Should they open? Should they care to open their holiday event a little earlier? I certainly would go to it just to make.
Does the holiday event start at 5?
Six. They posted it from 6 to 8.
On I already the same told night?
I already told them I couldn't go.
On the same
Pardon?
On the
same
night.
Yeah, and they probably just didn't know.
Yeah.
Well,
I already told
sure
them I couldn't.
Trip,
I said I couldn't go because
if
of
we
it.
Were to ask them if they care to start earlier.
The interesting thing is, guess where the chamber banquet is? It's at the casino.
Right.
So.
All right.
I have going on to the enforcement question. You talked about enforcement. We had a resident come to a council meeting a couple ago complaining about that area to south of Correll.
Yes.
Has that been addressed?
Yes. Notice of violation went out Thursday, I believe. It was the first one of the year.
Of course, there's a house across the street from there that's not much different.
Right.
I just walked my dog through there recently, and there's broken window glass, like somebody broke out a car window. It's been all over the sidewalk for over a week now and stuff, and then the dead cars and the basketball hoop. And
yeah, the car's parked there that the grass is growing up to the wheels.
Yeah. I just noticed that walking through there. There's some people in that area that are trying to fix up their houses.
On Cherry, just west of on Cherry.
Oh, it's on Cherry.
Yeah.
That wasn't
the So what we will do with those, there are so many that we do need to be efficient. What we will do is we'll go and investigate. We'll take the pictures, and then we'll send them a notice of violation. If there's someone there, obviously we'll talk to them right then. Send them a notice of violation. that may or may not include a fine depending upon on how egregious it is. Give them a timeline to comply. If they comply, often we will either eliminate or waive or reduce the fine. If they ignore us, then we'll send them another letter where they are now in...
Final notice.
Well, not even... You are now being fined $1,000 a day. And the first one explains that they could be. And we'll see how that works. You know, hopefully it will not mean that staff will have to spend, you know, dozens and dozens of hours on these relatively minor violations, so we can concentrate on the larger violations and the rest of our jobs.
The first few, probably.
I know which house it is now because I knocked on it. Yeah. Camp.
And the other question I have along that same line is the house here on Vista.
With the actual chunks of wood for the railing?
Yeah, with the wood thing and...
Across the little
stairs. Actually, the railing's legal.
Is the railing legal? Okay.
Yeah.
But the garbage in the front, there's all this
garbage. Yeah, broken down truck and the house there. Because wasn't there an issue with that not being on the foundation?
You know whose house that is.
Yes, I know. I just wondered if that was part of the same issues that we were having with the Main Street. Or is that a whole separate...
It's a separate issue.
I'm walking more now, so I'm seeing things where when you're driving, you don't...
You and Papa John are going to start.
Yeah.
They're two different properties. Obviously, if they're under the same ownership, there's common fault, you know, from the property owner.
That's very nice. Yeah.
So we're very well aware of that house.
And Planning Commission accepted our numbers for population and employment?
Unanimously. Mm-hmm. And you all should be getting emails from me right now with the letters.
As we speak, my getting emails.
Give us more.
One last question. You're talking about, I know a while back, I think it was even when I was on Planning Commission, we're talking about developing a code section of just definitions.
Yes.
And getting is that on your still on your radar, or is that kind of, I know we're kind of combining some things.
It is on the radar. It's not going to be... That's the ultimate goal, is to have one definitions section. Sometimes there are going to be situations where the context of a definition might change between codes. So it's going to be impossible to have one and only one definitions section, because, you know, there are different ways of defining the same thing, which is total bureaucracy.
What is your definition of is?
Well, yeah, exactly. So it can't be an absolute, this is where...
I was just wondering, if the thought came to my mind just now, is if you're creating new code sections and stuff, to, instead of putting the definitions like we did recently here in the new code section, create the definition section and then slowly add to it. So you're doing new code on X. So instead of putting the definitions in X, you put them, create a new code section called definitions, and in X you say refer to the definitions, and as you go through the different sections you can pull that out and plug it in over here. I don't know if that's easier or not, and then build on it, or
it is. And actually on the 21st, the public hearing you're having, that's going to be one example where we're putting into our master definition section a new definition that's separate from where the operational language is. So we are doing that as we have new codes come in. But we haven't had you saw how difficult the global enforcement chapter was, where, you know, you're changing like 30 different things. I'm worried about crossing that threshold, you know, and trying to say we're putting every definition in the municipal code here. It's just a lot of work.
All right, public works.
Okay, I have just one question on that. For the church road, we received just under $2 million of the STP.
Yeah, 1.9.
It was the 800, that was the state, the TID.
State, yeah.
So that's what we got out of the federal pot of money, was just about 1.9 something, yeah, pretty close to 2.
That was just the first time I'd heard them being available for money. I don't recall.
Well, we got Fed money on Main Street, but then we ended up actually trading that for additional state money.
Didn't we get Fed money?
We got Fed money on Thornton.
Thornton, thank you.
That's
the that money comes through COG, or is allocated by COG, and there's actually been a some comments made by some members of COG that Ferndale's getting too much.
Oh.
It's not, well, no, but...
But they were all, that was only like a 3 or 4 year window that they were looking at.
Gary, I get to serve on COG. I don't know whether it's continuous as a WTA rep, and it gives us two votes, but We'll see what that continues.
Yeah, but I make sure that I attend all the meetings, and I make sure that we have a project submitted, and that we're competing for those funds.
Okay, thanks. I don't have any sympathy when they gripe at me.
Yeah, the Bellingham's got how many votes?
Well, yeah.
One vote. Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah, so we're working on closing out 2013 projects, capital projects, and probably the most visible projects were Thornton Road, Vista, and then also the smaller project, but Washington and Lego intersection. So we're working on closing those out. We do have a couple of carryover projects. One, we're finishing up our design work on the water softening project, plan, specs, and estimate. So we should have that ready to go to send down to the DOH for review by the end of next week. So DOH will have to review our construction documents. Once we get their okay, we can go out for bid. So they usually take up to like 30, 35 days to review.
Working days or calendar days?
Probably working days.
Oh.
What's your best estimate when this thing's going to go on?
Well, I'm hoping March. And that's what we've been kind of planning in our schedule.
This will be built and installed by March?
No, we'll go to add. Yeah, and then what we've been looking at is that the work would be construction work completed by the, I think like we said, the end of September.
Okay.
And so that hasn't changed, so we're still pretty much on that. There hasn't been any reason to change that schedule.
What would the state be looking for in their review?
The Department of Health, they just make sure that we're just in compliance with any state laws, and you know, because when it comes to water supply, you just have to make sure that they want to look. Okay, yes, an engineer has designed this project. How will it impact the treatment process? They just do kind of a not really a detailed review. It's more kind of more general. Just make sure we're in compliance with any state requirements.
So when you go out for bid, will the company that wins the bid buy the stuff?
Mm-hmm. That's the way we're...
Okay, so we won't order it and have them install it. They'll do all the ordering and all the installation.
Yeah, we looked at kind of going either way. And, the thing is, if we order the equipment, then we accept the responsibility on the delivery time and if there's any problems.
Okay.
And so we looked to see if would we save that much time on the schedule, and not really. So that's why we decided not to take that risk. Put that back on the contractor.
Okay. How long is the warranty? Will there be a warranty for construction and then warranty, I guess, for the equipment
itself?
Yeah,
and usually just a 1 year, but maybe on that type of equipment, maybe it could be a couple of years.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then the other thing is we ordered the high service pumps for the water treatment plant. We received the pumps, but they haven't been installed yet. So that's a carryover from 2013 project. So then looking ahead for 2014, we have on our major projects and our utilities, there's our wastewater treatment plant, facility plan. So this was 1996. So we're going to pick this up. We're going to be working on this over the next probably 2 years. And this DOE will have to review this plan. And they take a lot longer than the Department of Health.
Department of Ecology?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got 2 years for planning, 2 years for design, and then 2 years for construction. So we're hoping we can stick with that schedule, but it's going to depend on DOE and their review of this.
Okay.
So you'll be hearing a lot about this plan as we work through this over the next couple of years.
Okay.
We're going to be looking at either, our hope is just a plant upgrade versus a plant replacement. We're not going to know. We have to get into the planning process in order to make that determination.
That's going to add, one of the issues with this is the jail, the timing of the jail, because we want to be sure that we're able to treat everything that the jail has. And also, we're getting, the reason why we have to do this now is we're getting close to our capacity. Mm-hmm. And Hempler's was another one. I want to quickly kind of tell you that Hempler's had planned on expanding their operation, kind of doubling their water usage. What that ended up meaning was the water sewer connection fees for Hempler was going to be something like $1.7 million. That took them somewhat by surprise, and we've been talking with them, and Hempler's Premium Brands is the company that owns Hempler's. They've now decided corporately what they want to do in Ferndale is they're going to keep the Ferndale operation in place. They're also going to be looking at opening up a new facility in either Salt Lake City or somewhere in Arizona where the cost of water and what have you is cheaper. But what they're going to be doing is they've hired a consultant from Europe. They want to expand their product line, bring in a lot more different smoked meats and what have you. So there's these smoking equipment from Europe that will broaden their product line. But they also have manufacturing equipment they're going to be investing in, which reduces the water usage. So I was talking with Steve Bates, and he believes that they are going to do an expansion to their facility here, but it's a non-production. It's going to be storage space, employee break rooms, things like that. So it's not production related. But when they slowly start rolling in this new equipment, they will be able to increase their production in Ferndale, and he believes reduce their water consumption by 20 to 25%. We were talking, when they were going to expand, it was like the equivalent of 150 or so new homes. I mean, it was a year of residential development. They're now going to be, in essence, giving that back to us insofar as not using it. And over the years from when they first opened their plant, they have done things to increase their production. So their water sewer usage has increased over the years, but they've not paid for any additional water sewer connections. If they're able to cut their water usage down by 20-25%, in essence, we'll be getting back that capacity that they used before. So with the jail perhaps being delayed a little bit because they have to do the vote of the people, with Hemplers now going in a different direction, I feel better from a timing standpoint, because it does take time to design these things, get them permitted, built. So I think we're in a good position. I would hate to get into a place where we would have to start slowing down development because our water or sewer plant, in this case, wasn't able to keep up. So I think the timing's right for this, and Janice, I think, is going in a good direction.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of get out ahead a little bit, because on our utility capital projects, we prioritize those based on we need to be in compliance with our permits, and then we're trying to support current growth and then plan for the future. So in the future, I mean, we're trying to get some design work underway so that we have those projects available, that once we get like funding for construction, then we can start that work, where it's not just always just a big scramble trying to get the design work, permits, any right of way that we need, and then rushing to construction. It's nice to get some projects in the queue, utility ones and also the street projects. And because then also that allows me to go after, if there's any grant funds, low interest loans or whatever, we have those projects ready to go. And that's what we're discussing with the city council on our next street projects. This year we have Church Road planned, and then Barrett, that's a pavement preservation project. But we need to get some other projects in the queue. We need to at least start doing a little bit of design work on the next project, like on our 6-year TIF, and taking a close look at that. So when I go to the COG meetings, they could just say, hey, we have some funding available. And I need to be able to say, okay, here's our, here's the next one up. Right. Otherwise, if I'm sitting there, we'll go think about that. That's too late. Yeah. That's too late. And so we need to look at...
What is next after Barrett? I've forgotten.
On our 6-year tip, we have Lega and then Ferndale Terrace. Oh, so on those,
nice. I'd love
and we look at these each year. We have three CIPs now. Mm-hmm. We review, look at the projects, and then change the priority or add new ones to meet projects.
Yeah, long term, just Thornton. We want to start.
Yeah, so we might want to look at changing that priority, maybe moving that up, and
like
trying to get some
engineering done in Thornton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we should be.
That's the next step here today.
This nice man's actually raising his hand.
We'll be throwing some of those corners.
He's the best at it, too. He's the word for it.
Sorry. That's okay. I have my opinion of the condition of our streets, which we have failed to fund for numerous years, even though we've said we're going to do it, everybody. What are we reaching a critical point of not doing street maintenance, potholes, and all that?
We're limping along.
And then that's why I'm hoping that, someday we kind of get out ahead of that. That would be really nice. But you know, we're trying to do what we can with the money that's available, and we've made actually made a lot of progress just over the last, say, even 5 years.
I mean, thought we had zero in street maintenance.
That's zero additional. There's a basic budget, right, Mark? And then we've had added additional to even more.
That was my
focus.
Question before, because you've said we are spending money on street maintenance, but when you look at the street maintenance number on our budget, it says zero, so...
But that's a separate...
That's the extra.
Right.
Well, that's extra.
Right.
That was
an extra. Right, because
well, you need to tell, where's the other one, then? Because we both have...
That's the street fund?
Yeah, the TIB.
It's street fund.
No. Well, but that's not for crack sealing and... Oh.
No, that's the minimum.
We used to have a $200,000 street
right.
fund that came out of the solid waste tax and a $100,000 sidewalk fund, and we added that in, and when everything went south... 2007 and 8, those funds were suspended.
Yeah. Well, when it's time to set priorities, I mean, we need to talk about
that. Yeah, because like if we had a pothole, yeah, the crew's going to go out there and repair that. What
can
I mean,
we just
like
call
getting,
you
trying to get out ahead is like, let's say Thornton up there. Mm-hmm. The crew's having to go out there and, you know, do additional maintenance there. But now we've reconstructed it. So now we have a new section. So that's taken care of. But that's pretty slow process because it's very expensive to reconstruct a section of street. So that's why if we can get out ahead on just some of the routine.
Of course, we've been doing a lot of big street projects mm-hmm. too versus a bunch of littler street projects.
Right.
I figure we're doing, if we hadn't done Main Street, if we weren't doing church and all that money was going to other roads and things, you know, so.
But you'd have to be able to get that money for those little projects, and some of these little projects wouldn't even qualify for this type
it's
of.
They'll get money for new stuff, but maintenance is hard.
That's like
systems
okay.
weighted that way.
Yeah. That's not Douglas isn't even on here, but it should.
Because of what they're doing right now, what are they? Is that going to be patched over?
Did you see what they're doing in front of
the lamplighter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they'll have to patch.
Okay. Because yeah. mm-hmm. it's a mess right now.
So the main thing, though, Jess, that you said before, though, on our roads is that we're almost beyond the maintenance for a lot of them because mm-hmm. the first 40 years there's yeah. not been as converting the best maintenance. So really we're in reconstructing lots of stuff.
Right. Yeah, so that's why there's always this kind of this catch-up mode. But what would be nice is that, you know, have concerns about Main Street and the condition of Main Street. It would be nice just to be able to do just some pavement preservation work to hang on to that street as long as we can. Because it takes so long to get that amount of money and do those projects. And once we make that investment, we need it to last as long as possible. So
well,
we'll be able to come make it back around to do that street again.
We do have funding in some pot that's coming up fairly quickly for crack sealing mm-hmm. on Main Street, which is a huge need, let's put it that way. You know, if you look at those, they're opening up. And if we had a lot of heavy freezing and thawing, we'd have chuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, anything
okay.
else?
So you got the trailer park to switch to?
Yes, finally. Yeah. That almost took
that
2 years.
That is amazing.
Two years.
I mean, it's amazing. I was wondering if that's what they were doing as I drove by. That's
yeah.
wonderful.
Is that like the 30-plus sewer customers?
It's probably more than that. Because there's a new one.
It's 55 for some reason.
Yeah, so they're getting that lamplighter, the mobile home park, off of septic onto city sewer.
Yeah, so you got lamplighter, but not for no mobile yet.
Correct.
But that's
yeah, we
huge.
Did everything that
wasn't
we could.
That, didn't they take advantage of that discount mm-hmm. thing?
Yep, they did.
Yeah. Which council might want to think about again? Did that expire?
Intentionally.
We only wanted
yeah,
to
it for two,
a little
it was
bit.
Two, yeah, yeah.
It was a 2 year sunset.
Yeah.
Bring it up again.
I think it was good to have that 2 year though, because
you need some kind of incentive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, because we got to look out
Central
yeah.
City
somewhere. Yeah,
Central City. I don't like the assessments you guys are bringing up.
Central City.
All right.
All right. Finance. Let's finish up here.
How much time do I have? 15-20 minutes.
You assess my neighbor.
10, 8.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
I probably have no
technically 20, Mark.
Who's next? Yeah, I'll take that one. Just kind of what your finance department does every year, routine stuff. We oversee and responsible for all budgeting, all budget updates, all reporting, including bond covenants reporting, like water sewer customers, rates, debt service coverage, ratios, demonstration, that sort of thing, and posting of our annual audits on the EMMA website. Long-term project financing, we'll be doing some of that this year. The sewer projects next 2 years, this year is $1.8 million in the budget, and then more in 2015 per the comp plan. So we'll be doing some kind of presenting long-term financing this year, perhaps a construction loan with takeout financing at the end save some interest. But and then ongoing accounts payable, accounts receivable, of course, grant billing and management, I do that. Internal controls, utility rate administration and billing, we do that. And of course, utility rate projections and what-ifs exercises. Investing, compliance, state and federal regulations, and all audits. Now this year, we'll be getting a full-blown audit. The auditors will probably be here about 4 weeks. Every other year is the heavy one, and the costs are different. And of course, the Ferndale Transportation Benefit District infrastructure and accounting is set up and running smoothly. We may consider adopting a new module for our utility billing or wait a year. It's working pretty smoothly now because we've got quite a bit of software purposes this year, both for planning and building and as well as city clerk. So
what kind of module, Mark?
It would replace the utility billing module, the water sewer module.
With staying with Vision, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they have an
upgrade.
Yeah, and several cities are using it. Our system kind of working smoothly now. And, so, anyway, that's kind of it. Hopefully you do all this stuff and you don't hear about it. So that.
How many people actually do you have? I mean, it's you and one
full
time? No,
we've reduced, really. You know, we don't have a receptionist anymore that sits at that little desk. Mm-hmm. Would it be nice if we had the budget to have a dedicated receptionist?
Yes, it would.
Our other folks, Ann and Patty, are basically receptionists. They're the first windows, so they direct. The phone's answered by our accounts payable person, Ann, first, then it jumps to different people. So it's just Patty and Ann doing all the accounting. I'm personally the payroll backup person. Thank God I haven't had to do a payroll yet on my own. I probably would get your council members paid correctly, $570. Whether you got a timesheet or not.
The council tried to make your job easier, listen.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, that's kind of routine stuff. Hopefully you won't hear much about accounting and finance. A couple budget updates, hopefully not monthly like we did last year. So that's about it.
All right.
So we have to pay the state?
Yes.
A lot.
Thank you quite a bit.
Yes.
Thanks to Mark being so good, we saved a lot of money.
Well,
I'm not saying that. That just amazes me that they require it and then you have to pay us.
It's actually the voters. The voters set that up when they approved that system through initiative.
Oh, they probably didn't read that.
We're from the government. We're here to help you.
Yeah, we pay.
Even though we have to pay for it, we're still here to help.
Yes, it is. Okay, under the line green tab is there's a little section here for discretionary revenues and long-term debt. This is information I think most of you already have and know, but I just wanted to kind of pull it together. Mark's put together a couple of things. The first is just our scheduled long-term debt, and you just kind of see what's there. The second page is a graph, and as you would expect, assuming that we don't get any more debt, eventually we start paying that debt off, and you can see how it starts tailing off as we pay things off. The next few pages are the ones with the colored graphs, and this is something I was hopeful that those that have visual learning could kind of look at. And what I wanted to show was, of the revenues we get, how are we currently spending them? How much is for debt service? How much might be considered operations, and how much is unallocated? So there's one sheet here for solid waste, one for park mitigation, one for traffic mitigation, one for REIT 1, and one for REIT 2. Because those are the bigger dollars that are somewhat discretionary, even though they do have limitations. Solid waste, we can spend any way we want. It's just like property tax, sales tax. Park mitigation, obviously it has to be park improvements. We can't use park mitigation for park maintenance and daily operation.
Were you reading about the REIT?
The REITs are the last two sheets in here.
Okay.
And traffic mitigation, you can see with traffic mitigation and REIT 1 and REIT 2, there's a lot of unallocated because these are the funds that we normally do to match our state and federal grants. So on an ongoing basis, we will obligate them, say for Church Road or what have you, or Main Street, and then once that project's over,
it has to be for traffic improvement.
Traffic
improvements. So we can't use TIF money on church.
That's true. That's true.
We did.
Yeah.
I know he did. I'm still here, not in jail.
Well, it improves. It improves. The,
it does
improve the ability, the capacity of Church Road. Somewhat, a very small amount, but maybe. But
yeah. You know, we added that we have a right-hand turn lane.
It doesn't provide mechanism.
Right-hand turn lane. That was with Main Street, wasn't the Church Road.
So the current financing plan doesn't use any TIF for church. We got enough other funds for church because of all the grants.
But from a multimodal standpoint, it increases traffic.
Yeah,
bicycles.
But
it goes back to our transportation element and how it's defined in there.
On each of these sheets, you can see that there's some debt service we pay out of those, out of these funding. So like for traffic mitigation, you can see what debt service is associated with that funding source. One of the things I think this might help folks understand is that, we'll take REIT 1. You can see that basically there's almost a 50-50 split between debt service and unallocated. So another way to say that is we would need to experience a 50% reduction in REIT 1 in order to not have any funds available over the required debt service. So it kind of gives you an idea of the sensitivity of some of these funds and how much ongoing, not permanent, but ongoing debt service we've allocated to it. So like with REIT 2, you can see that there's very, very little debt service. So our ability, at a certain point of the year, we collect enough of these funds to cover our debt service. And so depending on how much debt there is, it might be a quarter of the way through the year or halfway through the year. But in no case are we so dependent on our current level of revenues for debt service that I think we would have a problem if we had another downturn in some of these.
Did you note that, you know, REIT 1, REIT 2 can only be spent on certain things?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, and Mark, can you kind of run through REIT 1 and REIT 2 because their allowable uses are different.
Yes. Yeah, well, REIT 1, which is the first 0.25% for real estate sales transactions. This is for capital items on our capital facilities plan. This is buildings and stuff. REIT 2, the second 0.25% on real estate sales transactions, is also a capital project on a capital plan for roads.
Streets.
Capital items for streets.
Mark, can I ask you a question? They are the same percentage, but why are the amounts different here?
Well, typically the revenues do come in the same every year. It's split.
Because it's based on the same event.
Exactly. And because the so-called values are different, this total available resources includes prior year's cash balances left over in those funds. So REIT 1 has available resources of $472,000 for 2014. Okay. REIT 2 has $296,000 left over. So REIT 1, we've been spending less, if you will, of each year's receipts than REIT 2. REIT 2 is road projects.
Thank you, Ms. Meyer. I looked at it as income, not a balance. So that's my mistake.
Yeah, you kind of had to go with
technically, because it says available resources. And in a technical accounting sense, resources are revenues plus beginning fund balance.
Yeah.
Those are your total resources.
The unallocated is funds available.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of, I just wanted to kind of quickly go through so you can see kind of where we sit on some of these discretionary revenues and how we use them to match for grants and what have you.
Quick question. So this is just for the debt we have right now, because you're talking about doing some other stuff this year, but this is just based on us not...
This is general obligation debt.
Okay.
The other debt we're talking about is water sewer revenue bonds.
Okay.
So that this is just general obligation kind of stuff, not paid for by water sewer.
Okay. Thank you.
The proprietary funds, water sewer storm, they don't pay their own debt service debt. And they hold it within the funds.
Right. Thank you.
Turning to the red tab, kind
pink.
Of moving now into our must should could.
I
going through some prior iterations of the retreat, I came across this. You can see at the top says 2006. In 2006, we asked our citizens two questions. Three things you'd love to change about Ferndale and three things you'd never want to change about Ferndale. And so this is back in 2006. And what's interesting is that there's a lot of things on this list that are still, I think, germane today. And when we wrap up this afternoon, we'll also go through, we've asked this question again today through our Facebook page, and we received, not surprisingly, a lot more responses, because with social media, you're able to reach a lot more people than back in the dark days of 2006, when you pretty much had a website and that was about it. So you can kind of look at this and see what we thought, at least what some of our citizens thought back in 2006, and then, like I say, later on we'll take a look at what they're thinking today. So that's what those first two pages are. The next page that folds out, it's a large page. I took our must-do lists for 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12, and I just listed them across. This is maybe just gee whiz and by golly information, but I wanted to try to see how prior councils have prioritized the things we must do, because this is just the must list. And for the most part, there is some continuity between them, but you'll also see that sometimes these projects take a while, because like back in 2006, at the very bottom it says library feasibility. And so that's where that started. And then in 2007, you can actually see the library land acquisition. And then we start talking about actually doing the library. So some of these things, even though we consider them must do, it's taken us from 2006 until 2013, at least in the case of the library, to actually get it done. But we did get it done. So some of these are relatively short run. Some of these are more long run must do. But there is...
We didn't do this in 2013, did we?
No.
We just did 2012.
We did. It's interesting that after 2007, the library didn't hit the must do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I think at that point we determined the feasibility, which i.e. the cost, and we secured the land, but we had the problem of saying, where do we find the money? Yeah. And I think all of us would agree that if not for that anonymous donor or donors, we probably wouldn't have had the building a library right
you
now.
Correct. Yeah. So, and if you'd have done it 2013, I think you would have seen library very high on the list of must-do.
Right.
Because
right.
We were nearing the goal as far as money.
Exactly. So this is, again, just kind of a, I thought it was interesting to lay it out side by side and kind of see how the thinking has kind of ebbed and flowed, but there's also a lot of continuity, I think, from year to year.
A lot of it got done, though. I'm happy to see
the great thing
much
is, if
done.
You look at the amount of those things that are gone, the process, I don't know whether it's the process that makes it work. In other words, because we put them on the list, we went ahead and got them. Or we put them on the list because we knew we were going to do them.
I think we wanted to do them.
A little bit of both, but
it's a chicken or egg. You know.
Well, it's like the great quote that I just ran across the other day, the mark of a great politician is the ability to take credit from the inevitable.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
I got a question of the chief. Back in 2007, we said 19th and 20th officers. Mm-hmm. We're at 19?
18.
I thought we approved. Yeah. Do we approve the 19th?
As of June.
June.
Will that take care of your gap? No.
That's not your 19th.
24 hours
injected.
Well, that's almost the whole position. If you don't factor in sick leave and vacation.
It is the whole position.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Having been someone who's been there, that's tough by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'd
now
be scary.
Having a son there, and it can turn crummy real fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's another $100,000 for another person if we budget.
Yeah, yeah.
We same thing I did for non-reps, where I went to all the other jurisdictions of our size. No one matches us. in terms of our competitiveness, especially for starting salary for police. And only two or three, I think two end up above us by the time you're done with your full steps for that. But that's like the city of Fife, which they do nothing and they collect a bunch of money from car dealerships.
Yeah.
They're a very, very rich city. Their department heads, all their employees are very well taken care of. But our police are very competitive for salary at this point. Very, very. No one even comes close to matching us for starting.
That was a calculated
thing
that we did.
But I thought that maybe it would have changed over time since that happened, and it hasn't. We still remain the top.
It was more of a takeover than a calculated.
It wasn't.
Yeah, losing the sheriff's office.
And the benefits as a result of that, and Gary knows because we were both involved in this, the benefits have been we're getting laterals. Mm-hmm. We're hiring laterals. We're not sending guys to training anymore.
Yeah. The one reason why I mentioned it, though, is that it does make it a little bit more costly to bring someone on, though.
Yeah. So my concern is more, can we find the money?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you find the money in the budget? Because that's $100,000. That's a lot of money.
There's actually something on the horizon that might help us out, and that is the annexation into the fire district. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about this in committee. For the most part, the citizens of Ferndale have to vote to join the district, and the citizens in the district have to vote to allow us to join. So there need to be two votes. And at the next committee meeting, Gary Russell's going to be there, so we can start talking about this.
Endorsed that concept
yes,
at all?
Yes, yes, he has.
Yeah.
Really?
And this is not like giantly enthusiastically. I don't think he said that all three of his commissioners, but I would say I would bet on the fact that they're
good.
Going to.
Yeah, should be. And this is a big, philosophical shift for them, because it means that the citizens of Ferndale could indeed elect a fire district commissioner.
Fine.
Correct.
So that's kind of.
Well, it also means one other thing, depending on how you structure it.
Yeah.
It also means that should we ever decide to, as a city, to withdraw and create our own fire department. The facilities.
Oh, we own part of the
facilities. We own part of the facilities.
Right.
Our
right.
share of them. Yeah. Right now, if we were to withdraw, we get nothing. Mm-hmm. We don't get a fire engine. We don't
continue
get a
building. Conversation because I hadn't thought about it. You're suggesting we're going to get part
we
of
it
the
as a contract.
Emergency management taxation.
Well,
because it goes to law enforcement, doesn't it?
Yeah, that,
I hadn't thought of that.
That and right now, when if we were to annex in. The fire, we would lose 50 cents of our property tax levy ability. We don't levy our up to our maximum, so losing that 50% won't affect our ability to raise the same amount. 50 cents per thousand.
Okay. I thought you said 50%.
I said, no, 50 cents per thousand. When you look at, that 50 cents gets us about a little north of $800,000 a year of property tax. We're paying the fire district $1.3 million in assessments to them. So what will happen is if we annex into the fire district, that $1.3 million comes off our expenditure side. Our levy rate goes down, but we levy dollars, not so we will, the year after that, collect 1% more than what we collect today, but we'll spend 1.3. The whole thing is, okay. we should end up getting a little chunk of monies.
$300,000 to $400,000 back.
And
right.
What's more important is some say.
Yes.
And also, the property taxpayer shouldn't see necessarily an impact.
But there'd be a new line for fire district, won't there?
No.
For city taxpayers, but not for outside.
They'll
city
see a reduction
correct.
Of their city portion.
Their overall tax bill should stay
yes.
the same.
Pretty close.
And they will see a new line. Yes.
When do you bring
the city line? Will be less. A new line will be
next committee meeting.
Next committee meeting.
Oh,
11. Start talking
11?
About it.
Excellent.
15th on the 15th.
So
of January.
What do you think? If that passed. Extra funding for police?
Well, we should indeed have some extra. Not that we have extra money, we'll have less expenditures.
Yes.
But have you calculated how much?
300.
Well, about 300 maybe.
Maybe.
It's not inconsequential.
I don't want to count it till we get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a big vote, I hadn't thought of that. We're always thinking fire.
Right.
But part of that tax is law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yes. So, who knows? Well, but again, it's a vote. We need to run the numbers as far as what it means to our taxpayers, because that's the biggest question they're going to ask: how's my tax bill going to be affected?
Yep. So, we can talk about it in committee.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about the timing.
Right, exactly. All right, well.
Long term.
I'm just going to do that now.
Yes, oh, definitely.
Yeah. After?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right, well, we can, why don't we go ahead and we can do the, we can do our must, should, and could. And I think Carol's probably. Yeah, you guys want to take a couple
break?
Minutes?
That'd be great. Yeah. Thank you. No way to check battery.